Let me open in prayer, and we're going to talk about listening to God. Father, just a chance to see a dad excited to see what his son is doing and how his son is running drives us to your heart and how you love to watch us and celebrate us in our journey of life. And sometimes things don't go the way we planned, but we run our course. We finish well, and we look to you to receive all the praise and glory. Would you please, as gathering with us here tonight by the power of your Spirit, by the love of Jesus Christ, just make yourself known. We want to be, we want to grow in our relationship with you and how to hear you and discern you. And then, Father, how to help others do the same thing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have Miss. That is why they're in the process of repadding them. Yeah.
I'm short. No, I'm fine on here. That's horrible.
How do you feel about it, Karen?
Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long-legged people are probably fine with that.
That, yeah, when they talk, yeah.
Short, fat people, it doesn't sit well.
Anywho. Not, I'm just going to keep talking about, yeah, Miss Barb is home recuperating, Miss Elaine is cheering on son, yep, so we're accounted for. We are going to move on in the beginning of June to talking about kingdom space, how we acclimate ourselves in relationship with others. Our relationship with God, our up, our relationship with our circle, our in, our relationship with the world, our out. Everyone needs to know how to orient themselves in relationship. Okay? How am I walking with God? How am I walking with my in? How am I walking with the out? Okay? Working on bringing them and restoring them into relationship with others. Okay? You'll get all this stuff in 2 weeks in the beginning of June. Tonight, we just want to drill down one more time on what it really means to discern what is God asking me to do and what am I going to do about it. We're really good at talking about the weather. We're phenomenal at talking about the weather. When I say that, talking about your own little personal climate storm. Yeah, in my life, this is how things are going. Oh, I feel so bad for you. In my life, this is how things are going. Oh, I'm so bad. I feel so bad for you. A discerning, praying, tuned in follower of Jesus Christ, that's not sufficient. That's not enough. What is God asking me to do in this storm? What is God? How is God asking me to respond? How is God asking you to respond? What is God communicating in this season? Am I supposed to be waiting? Am I supposed to be walking? Am I supposed to be praying? Am I supposed to be acting? What needs to be happening in my life? Let me share with you just from my own personal story what that might look like. And as we're learning to walk with God in greater intimacy, you've experienced me working out some justice questions on Sunday mornings. It's been fun watching you and listening to you, listen to me, work out some justice. Because what I have are lots of questions. I don't have very many answers. I have whiteboards stacked full of questions. I have books highlighted and sticky notes galore, and my phone is full of, and I have digital files out the wazoo on this justice question. What does it mean when God says, I love justice and righteousness? You do justice and righteousness. What does that mean? So there's this cognitive tension that I have. God has kind of dropped this giant boulder into the pond of my thinking, and there's ripples all over the place, and the mud's been churned up, and I don't know how to process anything. All I know is that something doesn't feel right. Something isn't the way that it's supposed to be. I'm not looking for a formula. He hasn't given me a principle. He has placed me, he's poked the bear of my heart and of my mind, and I am unsettled on the inside. It's a little bit more than a speed bump. It's not quite a brick wall, but it's getting pretty close to feeling like a brick wall. Like, I really can't do anything else. You know, my wife checked in with me this afternoon. Hey, what are you up to? I'm like, I'm brooding about justice again. You know, Vanessa and I are sitting here talking about challenges and questions, and I had coffee with an older gentleman from the community to ask him these questions, and I had lunch with a bailiff at the courthouse to ask him these questions, and I was talking with the Hope team, you know, an hour ago about these questions, because I'm like, so I'm feeling something. What do you do with that? This is the climate that I am in as an individual. If I'm genuine to my responsibility as a child and as a servant of God, okay, that means first and foremost, I take that tension and I run it through the mill of Scripture. All right, what would God say about this thing that I'm wrestling with? What would God say? And so I will work through. I will work through Old Testament passages. I'll work through New Testament passages. Because I'm a journaler, okay? I will sit and I will journal ideas and questions, and I'll wrestle. These are things that God has already said about this thing that I'm really starting to feel. And I'll meditate on it. I'll sit with the passage for a while, and I'll chew on it. And what does that mean that he says to be zealous for good works? What does it mean when he tells me this story about this good Samaritan and how when all the religious elite and educated and seminary degreed professional clergy passed by on the other side of the road, that this ousted would-be outcast Samaritan stopped what he was doing, bandaged the man up, put him in his own car, if you will, found him a house for the night, told the landlord, hey, can this guy stay here for a while? I have to go. I'll be back. I'll settle things up. And then Jesus looks at me and says, all right, you now go do likewise. And then I wrestle with, but my life doesn't look anything like that. My life doesn't look anything like that. I'm like, Jesus, my life looks exactly like the life of the religious guys. My life is so oriented that I am literally on the other side of the road, other side of the tracks, other side of the river, other side of town from whatever the needs of what Scripture calls the quartet of the vulnerable. I didn't even know that was a thing until I started reading these passages where God systematically talks about care for the poor, the widowed, the homeless, and the sojourner. Like, pretty consistently, actually. And so I start reading these passages. And then, because the Spirit does what the Spirit does, the Spirit illumines or enlightens my thinking to start connecting dots. Oh, look, you said this here. Oh, look, you said exactly the same thing here. Oh, look, just because I'm a nerd and I know like when things were written in the Bible, those two passages were written like 300, 400 years apart, but you said exactly the same thing. Oh, look, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you said exactly the same thing. Oh, look, whenever God describes himself, he describes himself in these ways. And you start to recognize God's voice in something, not the auditory. But this is, if God were to say something, this is what he would say. Why does that matter? Because there's a whole lot of other voices that are out there. A whole lot of other voices that are out there. And I have to discern which ones are the voices of God and which ones are the voices of not God. Okay? Because if something is important to God, it's also important to other spiritual beings. Not because they want to get on God's bandwagon, but because they want to shut that bandwagon down. So I need the capacity to discern. Oh, this is what God is saying. That is not something God would say. That's not on the table. That's not an option. Here's the interesting thing. Those voices can come through very genuine, very concerned, very loving people. Okay? Who, out of concern for me or concern for whatever it might be, are sharing their thoughts, their ideas about whatever it is I'm wrestling with. You can get God wrong. You can 100%, okay? History is riddled with people who got God wrong. I'll give you a great example. Let's take the Crusades, okay? You can watch a movie and get pretty darn close to how bad the Crusades were, because it's exactly what you think it is. I tell you what, let's all grab our swords. We're going to go fight the bad guys in Jerusalem and win it back, and I tell you what, all your sins will be forgiven. That sounds awesome. Let's go do that. And in essence, that sounds like an oversimplification, but no, it was about 4 or 5 rounds of doing that. Let's all grab our guns. We're going to go shoot the bad guys. We'll get Jerusalem back, and we get to go to heaven. Nice. That's so wrong on so many levels. Like, that is not something God would say. It's not something God would say. Now, were they able to get some pretty amazing justifications to pull it off? 100%. Let's take Jim Crow laws. Let's take the slavery issue. Let's take the lie of race, if you will. Okay? The lie of race in the 1920s and 30s was substantiated out of a reference in a Scofield Bible that said that black people came from the line of Ham. Okay? Noah had 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Okay? And Ham's line was cursed, okay, as you read that passage and you read the Scofield reference in the King James Bible that it's based out of. And that was enough justification for some to say, see, people of black African descent are cursed by God. It is their job to be in servitude to everybody else. The Bible says so. Oh, well, as long as the Bible says so, clearly this is what God wants. And, well, the rest is history. So I have a responsibility to prayerfully, reflectively look at Scripture and what is something that God might, if I'm sensing that God is calling, nudging, pushing, stopping to consider, to wrestle with, I need to put that through what God has already said. Is that something that God would ask me to do? Would God ask me to wrestle with the question of righteousness and justice as far as our church family is concerned, to wrestle with the question of the poor and the widowed and the vulnerable and the homeless and the refugee in our midst? Yeah, it really looks like that's something that God would ask me to wrestle with. And out of position, that's something that God would ask our church family to wrestle with. But there are other means. There's other means that God would use to talk to me, to share with me. God, for lack of a better term, God loves the messenger system. Meaning, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and get my cue card. Sign Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Okay? He will speak to me through Scripture. He will speak to me through other individuals. Okay, in the same way that forces of evil will speak to me through other people, okay, or even just directly, God will speak through other people. So I have coffee with a godly older gentleman who's from the Piqua area. Hey, talk to me about justice in Piqua. Well, it's always been the north end and the south end. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, where's the poor people at? Because, I mean, let's put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Where are the poor people at? Because on the side of the road that I'm walking down, I don't bump into them, okay? I live in the north end of Troy. I drive that same road. I've always driven that road. I drive through that community. I park in this parking lot. That's basically my existence, okay? I don't bump into whatever it is, I need to be bumping into. He says, yeah, you need to go here, mostly near this park, mostly between this road and this road. Awesome. All right. That's helpful. God is giving me information through another individual. As I process the justice question, in the midst of me driving the roads of Piqua this afternoon, I get a text from a young woman in our church. Hey, you got 10 minutes? Yeah, sure. I got 10 minutes. I got lots of time. Absolutely. So she calls me up and she says, normally I get concerned when people say, Pastor Paul, I'm concerned. I'm like, I bet you are. But I know her heart and I know where she's coming from. She says, I have some concerns. The messages that you've been sharing, I'm concerned that our church won't be ready for what God is asking us to do. There is not, she says, and I don't know why I'm calling you. I just have this, it's really pressing upon me right now just to say, Pastor Paul, there's not a question in my mind that God is sharing something with you. But is it possible that not everyone in our church is going to want to hear it? I'm like, yep. And Pastor Paul, I'm concerned that it could be dangerous. I'm like, yeah, I think so. I think you're absolutely right. So we just talked about for a half an hour. But what was really interesting was I was talking to someone who's come out of those systems of injustice. She wasn't just someone who, you know, Pastor Paul said something and it kind of rubbed against my political wiles or whatever it was. It was someone whose story flows directly out of what does it mean to be poor, to be widowed, to be forsaken, forgotten, and vulnerable. She knows firsthand exactly what I'm talking about. She knows exactly firsthand the dangers of that world. Because take a fireman, okay? To go rescue the person in the fire, what does he have to do? He has to go into the fire. Now, do they train? Yep. Do they have appropriate equipment? Yep. Have they thought it through? Yep. Do they just haphazardly let anyone, hey, you want to run in and get the guy on the second floor? Sure, I'll go do it. No, it's not an option. It doesn't change the fact that to get someone out of the burning house, someone's going to have to go into the burning house. And so I really appreciated, and I would like to think, discerned in that moment the fact that God, through his graciousness, was bringing me what we call a prophetic word through someone else. That, all right, Paul, because you have been seeking my face and you've asked for guidance, I will also bring you guidance through another voice. And she was able to speak to and help me slow down and to wrestle and to discern how complicated this question is. Something that even in my own private prayer time, I hadn't even articulated on the outside. Like, the more I press into this, Jesus, the less and less safe I feel. That I think genuinely there are forces that want to take me down as an individual. That I feel my old demons are knocking on the door again. I hadn't felt that in quite a long time. Is it possible, Jesus, that I know I'm going in the right direction because it's getting more dangerous? For me personally, spiritually, emotionally? Yeah, I think so. Because is that consistent? Is that consistent with what God has already told me in Scripture? That Paul, that the Holy Spirit would say to the Apostle Paul, you are going to Jerusalem and going to your death, led by the Holy Spirit. That God would send Jesus into the wilderness to be tested by, to be confronted by. that Jesus' greatest ministry also brought about his greatest physical undoing. That sometimes, take a football team as an example. If I don't want any resistance, which way do I run? But how do I know I'm running in the right direction? I'm going to face a whole wall of the enemy coming at me. Yeah. Yeah. And so I can discern the voice and the guidance of God through Scripture, first and foremost. Okay? When I sit down and have a conversation with a person and they say to me, well, God is telling me to do this. Okay. Well, we need to talk about what the Bible actually says about what you're actually telling me that God told you to do. And they immediately bristle at me that I would suggest that we hold their decision up to the scrutiny of Scripture is a little telling, right? Because if God told me to do something, it's going to be very consistent with what God has already said. God doesn't go this way and then say, go that way. It just doesn't, he doesn't do that. We're talking about a book that covers thousands of years of human history, and he's very, very consistent in what he says and what he expects. Now, is there a lot of room for humans to screw it up? Yeah, yeah. But that's why he also says, hey, seek me in prayer. Let me speak to your heart through the night. Ask godly people. Receive and be open to messages from discerning spiritual voices around you. And take time. Take time. Are there some times where God's like, you got to do this now? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But I've learned that God will play the long game. Because that's one of the conversations that I had with this woman on the phone. And I told her, I said, I thank you so much for reminding me of something. It's really easy for me to forget that my responsibility is to make sure that the whole flock gets there. Because that's what a shepherd is supposed to do. When we wrestle with the justice question, let's just, because this is my life moment and I have the microphone, okay? If we're wrestling with the justice question, as I'm beginning to wrestle with and articulate and guide us into that question, there are going to be those on the front of the flock who are like, yeah, let's do this. There, I don't have to worry about getting them into green pastures. They're going. They're at the front of the flock. They are early adopters. They are up and they are running like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. I mean, Karen Crine, she's already in food trucks and she's already shot. Some people are wired for, some of you, you know, as soon as I started speaking on this topic a couple weeks ago, you were always, before my sermon was over, you were already sending me texts. Where do we go and when do we start? Blah, blah, blah. You are at the front of the flock. I don't have to worry about you. I don't have to worry about you. I also know that in any given flock, there's going to be people who dig their heels in just because they like to. They just want to exercise their American right of being difficult. Okay? As an example, it does not matter if I were to have a congregational vote about whether or not Jesus Christ was the Son of God, someone would vote no just because they're allowed to circle that on the paper, okay? Just because, okay? I have interviewed at multiple churches over my decades of ministry, and almost every church I've ever interviewed at, I've always been accepted with 95% adoption or higher, okay? There's always someone, and a wise old guy says, they voted no just because they can. They might love you to pieces. They just might, but because they're allowed to vote no, they're good. There's always going to be those in the back of the flock that are just going to, like. The shepherd, though, will put the most struggling sheep in the center, okay? Those that need a little bit more emotional, relational, and physical support to get through the valley, okay? And where do you find the shepherd? He's in the middle of the flock. He doesn't have to lead out front. There's other sheep, they know. They know which way to go. But he has to be close enough relationally to those in the back to keep them moving forward. But he has to be in the center to make sure that everyone can keep up. And so, learning to play the long game, if we're talking about moving the flock from one place to another. Even though I know where we're going, and I know how important it is that we get there, but we're not going to get there until we can get everybody there. That makes sense? That makes sense. So this is how I'm processing life moments. It's not about me saying, yeah, you know, it was a good week. No, it was a bad week. No, this is the weather. No, how do we actually go about discerning through reflection and sharing, what is God telling you to do? So you're watching on a corporate level, an individual level, me wrestle with that question. What is God asking us to do? Then, all right, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Thoughts or questions as I just share anecdotally about that? What's that?
Right, right.
Yeah, lots of process. Lots of process.
I think as a pastor, and I mean, I think you do this well, is finding those that are already a point. Getting them to help guide one person at a time where they can be. And I think that's the biggest key.
There's a critical mass.
One person can't do it all.
Exactly.
And so you have to find those that are already there or almost there to help the others come along.
To provide some relational glue. That's why I spent the last hour talking with the Hope team. Why? Because those are the type of people disposed to say, you're right, we need to go, da 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 da. And so if you think about a flock, there's always one or two out front who relationally have capital. And those are the ones you put a little bell on their necks and say, all right, you're not going to follow me, at least follow them. They got the bell. But yeah, we need to start developing. And that's one of the, I mentioned to this woman on the phone, I says, we'll know if the Spirit is telling us to go somewhere because I won't be the only one saying it. That the Spirit will start to grab a hold of hearts at enough critical mass that the whole flock will be able to move forward together. That it won't be Pastor Paul saying, it will be the Holy Spirit through what we've seen in Scripture and prayer, and we'll see multiples, you know what, hey, can we do this? Hey, how about this? Hey, I'll do this. That there'll be a transformation of heart and soul, a zealousness for good works. But yeah, and that's one of the reasons we have to give ourselves time to say, hey, you know what? What's the last thing that you see grow on a fruit tree? It's the fruit. And so you're going to have to give it some time to percolate. Yeah.
That's so hard being American.
Oh, dude, if I want to pay enough, I could have Amazon deliver it by midnight. Right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. But what does Scripture say? Scripture says the good farmer waits. The good farmer waits. And that's hard because what that means is we have to be okay with who we are to be misjudged and misunderstood and presumed about. Like, well, why isn't Pastor Paul doing anything? Who said Pastor Paul's not doing anything? Okay. Who said that God's not doing anything? It's just, it takes time to do it. I'll never forget a friend of mine was something. This is back when we lived in Pennsylvania, and their neighbor had ordered in, looked like a forest, of hybrid poplar trees. that were supposed to grow at this exponential rate. And they did grow at an exponential rate. And they were beautiful until the first real windstorm went through and they all fell down. Why? Because those trees aren't designed. Even though they were re-engineered to be everything that you want your fruitful tree line to be, they couldn't succumb to the storm. And that just takes time. If we're talking about something like the justice question, and it's not like we don't have a heart for this already, and I know I'm dominating the topic, but to say that, all right, we're going to take this from more than just being some side ancillary thing to putting all of our ministries through the filter of. It's one of the reasons on Saturday, we got 10 people from the Foundations program. They're going to go up in Sydney to, they're working with Agape, and they're going to hand out food and toys on the square. Sydney's having some community day, whatever it is. Yeah, they needed volunteers, and they need hope projects, and so they're going to go up and do it. That it's just an understanding. This is what Christians do. We help people. That's what we do. That's what we do. We just have to take a time. What do you think?
My thought is you keep bringing the most important phrase in there is the long game.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the long game lets the individual or group or organization go from being a wide open ball field down to a focused idea.
Mm.
Because you can have all the justice you want, and you can be as great as you want, and we can be as great as we want. But if you take and just pull the trigger and you scatter the whole wall, you really achieve nothing.
Nope.
You have to be focused. So you can talk it and try to get us all involved, but until you get enough messages to understand what you truly want, to reach out and touch one spot so it can start to grow in other spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle.
Becomes really a struggle for the flock, because if the shepherds got fears and concerns, the flock picks it up.
Sure.
It's because you can't. You may want to, but you can't reach out and just help everybody and everything.
No.
So that's what I'm saying.
No.
The long game for you puts us strides behind you to get us to that central idea, the central project to start, so we can get it running. It's kind of like shoes for a shoeless. She probably had a lot of ideas and wanted to do a lot of stuff until something finally came. This was what she knew she could do.
Mm-hmm.
Then she could go out and get volunteers.
Shoes,
socks, and then we get out and get surfing.
But even then, even though, you know, you might see, oh, this is where we need to go, you know, I think the adage is true. One step ahead and you're a leader. Five steps ahead, you're a martyr. Mm-hmm. Right? One step ahead, you're a leader. Five steps ahead, you're a martyr. It doesn't count unless the whole flock gets there. Yeah. Oh, you got that faith, Paul Brown.
No, man. I like the analogy of kind of zoning in, or if you will, taking it from a wide open ballpark and just kind of coning it in, you know?
And
it makes complete sense in my mind when you put it that way. I mean, because as you do.
You know, he says, you know, north and south side. Pickle's always been bad. I can't say any other city's not as bad.
No, there's always a section, there's always, but yeah, sure.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
But everybody wants to help everybody. You know, you want to reach out and be able to, I can help you and I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can get this organization help.
Yeah.
But then you end up, you're going in 18 directions and you're going backwards instead of going forwards.
It's possible, right? Yeah.
That's why you have to understand that point you want to get to. You got to be able to get to that point and help that individual or that group.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you help that, it lays a foundation. So now somebody else sees it and comes along.
Mm-hmm.
So now our next group can focus here. Mm-hmm. And now you got 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can start to connect your dots. Now you got a line going instead of only being the marker.
Yep. And the next thing that I'm doing, and then we're going to talk about how you guys are processing where you are, is communicating with the other faith communities. All right, how are you handling? How are you processing the justice question? What are the initiatives that you guys are doing within your fellowship? What do you feel the issues are in the communities? How can we help you? Because I certainly don't want to reinvent the wheel. Like, if you're already running a food truck, I'm not going to go buy a food truck unless you tell me we need another food truck. All right. So, because we're not the sole expression of the body of Christ within this particular community. What are other churches doing that have been here a lot longer?
That you started that process?
Just had the idea yesterday of the letter and putting it together and surveying and like, all right, what are you guys doing? All right.
I would be very interested to hear what their responses are. And like,
yeah, right.
Are they doing, is anybody doing?
Yeah. I mean, there are some who are doing a great job, and there might be some who aren't doing anything, right? But okay, if we think of the tapestry of humanity within Piqua, where are the major tears, right? Who's fallen through the cracks? And how is the body of Christ collectively responding to those areas? Where can we very easily participate and join in and help? Where are some tears that no one's ever thought about answering or dealing with? You know? So I'm not going to go and say, you know what we need to do? We need to come up with a lunch program for the kids during the summer. You know why I'm not going to do that? Because it's already being done. Now, what I can do is, hey, you know what? Salvation Army has this food list that they need for the weekend program, and this is the shopping list. Can we help here? Yeah. Okay. So now, you guys, okay? How are you discerning the voice of God? Where are you feeling the nudge? And how are you processing the question, what is God asking you to do? How are you running it through the filter of Scripture? How are you running it through the filter of experience and wisdom? How are you letting voices speak into it? How are you giving it time? And you might say, I don't think God's telling me anything. Awesome. It's obedient in the long run. Okay? That's great. Awesome. Maybe right now there's no T in the road. Great. Then you are obedient and you are faithful and you are doing your thing every single day. But maybe somebody's like, I got it. Okay, awesome. Great. How are you discerning that question? And this is the part where I stop talking. And one of you talks.
But you did it so well. Why don't you just keep going? It'll be good. I'm just trying to be helpful over there.
Wow. I took a Bible, or did a Bible study several years back, and it was titled Discerning the Voice of God. And most of what I learned from that was watching and listening. Because so many times there are so many signs coming at us, and we just kind of let them go right over our head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But instead of doing that, kind of at the end of the day,
kind of
a replay, a quick replay of the day. And then it's interesting to me sometimes how for years I wanted to start a Bible study in my home. Years. I wanted to do that. Can't do that. And, you know, and I kept putting it off and sitting at a lunch table at work one day. And I said, man, I would love to do that. And the two girls who I rarely ever eat lunch with said, well, why don't you do it? I said, I don't know enough about the Bible to do that. That's a poor excuse, Karen. Because someone in that group will know. And if they don't, then you'll learn together. And, you know, and so just those little bits and pieces and bites. And then I was watching Facebook and I kept seeing these women making comments. And I thought, this just keeps coming at me. And so finally one day I just started praying, started writing down names that God had laid on my heart. And I called you and said, I think I'm going to do Bible study. And he's like, go for it. And I'm like, ah, that's not what I'm here. But it was, you know, and then after I started, then it's been going on, what, 3, 4 years?
Oh, easily.
4 years. And it's interesting because when I started, then I started looking back and realizing all the little signs that had been coming at me for years that I just kept like pushing it away. And so I think the biggest part is just listening.
Mm.
Watching,
oh, I agree.
Take it in.
Yeah.
And don't just assume it's a coincidence. There's no coincidence.
Yeah. He communicates a whole lot more than I think we give him credit for. Like, oh, I never hear God speak. Like, that's because you're talking so much. Yeah. Quiet.
Yeah, he speaks a lot. You just gotta listen.
Yeah. Oh, that's 100% true. Mm-hmm. I sat down with the Bible a couple of days ago because I start wrestling with the zeal question. The question of zeal. All right, why aren't we doing the things that we need to be doing? That's a direct overflow of zeal. We're not zealous for good works. We're overflowing and bubbling for lots of personal stuff. We're not zealous for that. So, you know, I start kicking around. All right, how do we grow in zeal? How do we grow in zeal? How do we grow in zeal? So, oh, it just reminds me, oh, that great story about Phineas and Scripture. And, oh, what was my Bible reading that morning? Oh, it just happened to be in Numbers about Phineas. And then the next day, oh, zeal for your house has consumed me in the Psalms. Like, oh, there it is again. And it's like, yeah, coincidence. Yeah. How are you in the life moment that you're in maneuvering that question? What is God saying to you? What is he asking you to do?
Well, I'll step out.
Okay.
So,
you're just gonna say it here and talk. I thought you were gonna get up and leave for like a smoke break. Okay.
Because they're probably fixing dinner and I'll need help.
Probably
she's
are.
She's on one leg, so it's okay.
Aww, so sweet.
Patience, communications. Last two times we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
For some reason, it was laid on your heart to ask me and Barb, but you know, part of it was me. But you asked me, put on your heart. And I told you one of the reasons I wanted to do this was because I thought it would help me be more prepared if I joined the CMA. So I could understand how to come alongside somebody. What it meant to listen and hear and be able to have that not coincidence, be able to pick that time up, those hints, so I knew it was time to ask the questions. So just like I told you on the ride, you know, we're sitting eating, and my buddy, and you know, comes to Christ sitting at the lunch table.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that what he's asked me to do? I thought, well, I'm not joining because I got too many other things to do. But now it's giving me time for this class and maybe more scripture, more praying, more meditation to be ready to take those steps.
Yeah, you're listening. It's so good. That's so good. And you're seeing the fruit, which is a great blessing. That's a huge blessing. What else? How are you processing the question? It's not telling me what the weather is. It's telling me what the weather means. Which way is the wind blowing you? Understand the metaphor? I'm not just trying to be artsy and poetic for the sake of being artsy and poetic.
So, month ago, I think it was, when I said that I think God's telling me that I need to be reaching out more outside of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of ironic that you were saying basically the same stuff, but hey, we got to go and do the stuff. But it's, you know, as it's been on my mind, and how am I going to do this? What exactly, where is it leading me?
Yeah.
Going through, and I keep circling back to, hey, but you need the basics first. Get your house in order. Finances.
There you go. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Because that's going to help you help them.
Your foundation, right?
Yeah, I know. I got to get my time in order, my house in order, my finances in order. Yeah, it's constantly smacked me in the face the past couple weeks again.
It will. Yeah, it will resonate, won't it? Mm-hmm. It'll like an echo chamber. You're like, yeah, again, again. Oh, there it is again. Yeah. Mm. He was signed up. He was, yeah, he was.
I switched somebody the week before. So I would
Rose does a great job. Yeah, Rose does a great job.
I have the book at home. I will be reading that probably this week.
Yeah. Yeah, good people. Someone else? Who else? What else? I mean, we'll keep coming back to this theme because everything launches back out of that question. We're just going to learn to add some more space to it, discerning life moments as I walk in relationship with God, as I walk in relationship with my circle, as I walk in relationship with those on the outside. It still comes back to that, but we're going to learn to kind of maybe target it in a couple areas. You know, how can I, you know, from a discipleship question, if I'm walking in brotherhood with like Jason, say, all right, God, what are you asking me to say to or speak into the life of Jason because he's a part of my circle? Hey, God, are you asking me to do something for my neighbor? Or God, how are we in relationship one with another? So we're never going to get away from that question. And that's why we spend, you know, a couple months just drilling down on that one shape. Okay, but it'll always be there. We're just going to keep growing out of it, growing out of it. How prayer will feed into that afterwards. Someone else, just anything, or even just to share with the group, just from a community perspective. This is on my heart. This is how I'm asking for prayer. This is what I'm going through.
I agree with Jason with the basics. I think that's where I'm at. It's just, you know, the kingdom, man. Just, you know, getting myself right in my household, you know, mentally, spiritually, getting involved in the church, the actions speaking louder than the words outside of this environment, you know, with work, with friends, with relationships, with family. I think that's where I'm at. Back to the, almost the basics, not Noah's Ark basics, but that's awesome.
Not if you're a unicorn.
But just back to the relationship, just with God, you know, with the meditation, with the prayer, with the scripture.
Yeah.
Just back to it. I think that's. I almost posit that's where Elaine and I are at. We've been here for a little over 2 years, but we've had, you know.
It was 2 years at Easter.
Yeah, a pulling on our heart, a nugging on our heart for a long time. Mama, we drive by one day, Mama's like, we're going there for Easter. And I said, Roger that, you know. And so I think that's kind of where I was, just going back to these basics, just reestablishing that relationship and constantly working on it.
It's beautiful.
You know, we've talked about before, it's those outside forces. You know something's going good because those outside forces are just kicking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, all right, let's step up. Let's figure this out, you know. I just told my kid, you know, work the problem. So, yeah, I think that's where I'm at. It's just trying to figure that basic foundation, cleaning that foundation up, making it better.
I think God puts us all in different situations, just like you said, your phone call came from someone that lived that life, so they understand it more. And I know God's put us in the storm we're in now, or had a storm through a divorce, but you know, we felt like it was killing you at the time, crushing you, but then you look to help other people after that storm. I mean, I had, after my divorce, I had two ladies drop, not at the same time, I handled that, but drop in my lap that were going through the same thing. Had I not gone through that, I would not have, I would have been, oh, you poor thing. But I had the level of understanding of each thing that was happening to them, what they felt,
That's right.
And what they were going through, and what where they would end up. Yeah. And yeah, it turned out.
We are interwoven. We are interwoven beings.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. We need our strength comes from our connection. Okay? Our strength comes from our connection. The tapestry of humanity is we are sown one to another. Okay? There are times when, through fallenness and brokenness and corruption and treason, that shatters and that breaks. And there are people who fall through the cracks of that. But if you're going to take your discipleship seriously, if you're going to take your walk with Christ seriously, that means you need to learn and learn to lean on the brotherhood and the sisterhood of saints. That I need to know what God's asking me to do. What do you think God's asking me to do? I need to know what God's asking me to do. I read this in Scripture. Is this something that God would say? His grace flows through to. Okay. Can you be a Christian and not be in community? Yeah. In the same way that you can be a zebra and still be eaten by lions. Okay? Because you decided to not be a part of the herd. Absolutely, you're right. You're a Christian. Good luck. Good luck. Easy pickings. Easy pickings. You know, I saw someone out in the community a couple of days ago that I hadn't seen in over a year who kind of said, I'm good doing my own thing. All right, you do you. You do you. Sorry. I pray for you. Because we were designed, even just beyond who we are as Christians, that bond, but the human fabric of how interrelated we are and need to be. Yeah, the other is really my neighbor. It's an interesting thing. The word for host and stranger is almost the same word in Scripture. That it's sometimes you're the stranger and sometimes you're the host. But the relationship of hospitality is what transforms and binds those together. So any other closing thoughts before we move forward and keep moving forward and what God's asking you to do? So you can be helping other people discern what God's asking them to do. Or just a way that we can be praying for you tonight.
And it was funny to me because I am such an emotional person and I feed off of others' emotions. And so it was funny yesterday, I was like prepping, it's Friday and I have nothing done. So of course I'm going to work on it tonight. But the girl that I was speaking with, we had talked about something else and work has been kind of heavy on me. Like, you know, what am I doing? What is the career path? You know, growth and potential and things like that. And I have been pondering on, be still and know I'm God.
Oh, yeah.
And she literally said to me yesterday, she said, until I hear you saying it, I'm like, that was God. Like, he was saying through her, she said, you know, there has been a lot of changes and, you know, things happen for a reason.
Mm.
But she said, I think right now you just need to be still. I was like, okay. And I just kind of, whatever, you know. But now that I've sat here and talked about it, it's like, okay, maybe I really do need to focus more on listening and not so much on the emotional part of things.
Mm. So good. So good. Yeah. What a coincidence.
Yeah, what a coincidence. We just get too much into our head. I know.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Many
yeah.
times too much into our head.
Oh. For sure. Anyone else?
Not
really. Yes, Mrs. King.
I would say where I feel a lot of tension, and I will say in our life, because me and Ryan and I, even though Ryan's not in the group, would be with our business.
Mm.
I'm gonna cry. I'm a crier. It's really, really hard being a small business owner.
Mm.
You know, we've had it for 10 years now, which is like a huge feat, I feel.
That is.
We opened our third location this past December, and I am questioning whether that was the right move or not.
Hmm.
It's an hour away up north, and it's been very, very slow, which is hard. And we're used to that. You know, we've started to other stores, and we know it takes a while to get things going. But I feel like it wasn't the right move.
Mm.
And the way Ryan handles things and kind of the way he was raised, his dad is fantastic and was a very hard worker and provided for, you know, them. His mom stayed at home and raised the four kids, and his dad taught him to work very hard, which is a wonderful quality. He doesn't ever give up on anything. That can also be a fault.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You know, we've been through COVID and recessions, and still our doors are open, but it is a huge struggle. And he just digs in and works harder because that's what you do. You work your way through it.
Yeah.
But he has backed himself into a place, and I know you see this, of, like, I don't know how much more he can do.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And he, you know, he'll sit through the sermons, and I'm like, oh, man, this is so good. I hope he's listening. Like, and he's thinking about work, and he's thinking about numbers, and
yeah.
And I so badly want to be able to take, you know, some help him relieve some pressure. And like, babe, I don't care what you do. I don't care what we do. I don't care what happens. I just want you to be able to breathe a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah.
If this isn't it, it's okay. It doesn't mean you were a failure. And I'm not saying that.
But that's not how he processes it, is it?
No.
You process it relationally. He processes it as success and failure. Yeah.
To keep making things work.
Yeah.
So I guess I feel like right now my job is to help him, you know, be able to take a step back enough to look at things and make some changes. I just told him today, I said, I think a lot of restructuring needs to be done.
Mm.
I said, I want you to be able to breathe. He goes
from, I can't imagine,
before sun up, literally, yeah, way before sun up,
yeah,
to after sundown every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. It's every single day. He is such a hard worker, and he is the best husband, and he's a good dad, you know, but he doesn't have as much time,
right? Yeah,
as he should. And I know that he just doesn't see, I think he doesn't see a way out of it.
That's so hard.
He maybe doesn't necessarily see the spiritual aspect of it. He just sees, he's type A, and he's like, I have to make this work. And he only sees the numbers, and it's like, oh, take a step back and let's like open ourselves to listen. And maybe the answer is paring down here. Maybe the answer is closing the doors to one of the stores so that we have a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And it's so difficult because where he gets his value is not where you get your value. Mm-hmm. As you process the world. Because, you know, you talk about the instrumentation of the man, he defines himself by his career. Yeah. He's just wired that way.
Yeah.
And most women don't define themselves. They'll define themselves by the people that they're in relationship with. Are there always exceptions? Yeah, there always are exceptions. But for you to be able to, for him to be able to know that you are emotionally supportive and present, that it's not even about the job at all. I am so proud of who you are as a man and how you are growing and supportive, and let him, there's just this crazy, weird interwebbing that God creates when he brings a man and a woman together. Like, we really literally are knitted together. That when one of us will open ourselves up in vulnerability to the other, so much grace can then flood in, okay? Like, there are so much that God wants to be able to deliver to Ryan through you. You're just going to have to pray for that genuine moment of grace and peace for him to be willing to receive it. And once that moment happens, it's going to be an amazing moment of healing and restoration for him. And God will be able to shift things inside. But yeah, you're just going to have, like, the good farmer waits, right? There's this thing about patience. And baby, I love you, and I'm here for you, and we're going to do this. Have you thought about this? And I love you so much, and knowing that even though you can't see it, there's something going on below the surface. He's a smart boy.
Oh,
so it's not to say he doesn't see the spiritual. I bet you he feels the spiritual constantly.
Constantly. So dang busy, and backed himself into that corner where I worry that when is he ever going to have time to see it, or...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I
I can't even think about that right now. I just have to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
You know, every day, this is what we have to do to keep going.
Yeah. And there'll be a moment, and you felt them, where the Spirit's probably nudging you to say something, and
And which is,
do I want to be a peacemaker or a peacekeeper? And I'm going to choose to be a peacemaker, which means I'm going to say something he might not want to hear.
Because it's tough when you're not going in the right direction.
Feels like, he needs that voice from you.
Yeah.
He needs that relational voice from you. The very thing that he's starving for is what you're able to provide. It's, yeah. Lots of prayer and patience. And he hears. He's listening. He's a smart guy. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate that. All good? Paul, you got it?
What do I got?
You still watching something on your phone.
No. I don't know. You normally text me, but we'll find out.
Gotta be the shoes. Nurse Ward, we good? All right. Thank you. Thank you for sharing tonight. Appreciate that. I'm busting on you. Not every night's a for everybody night. That's okay. Why don't we stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. Thank you for sharing your evening with me. I know you're all busy and there have things to do. It means a lot that you would be a part of our collective restoration in our community. We're interwoven. Father God, your blessing upon us. You are sending us out to be agents of restoration and peace, to carry your love with us. Help us, Father, to be attuned to those moments when you're asking, when you're telling us, I would like to draw near to that person. Would we open ourselves up to be vulnerable and sharing so that your love can pass through, so that your love can go to? Thank you for each story here. I ask that you bring them healing and grace and restoration. Make us all zealous for good works, for caring for the things that you care about, to love kindness and to do justice, to hold the banner of Jesus Christ high, to say that there is a better king and there's a better way of being human. I pray for those. I just hold up those who are on our hearts tonight. That your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.